There's a theologian named Father Gerald O'Collins. He makes this historical observation. After a short public career, Jesus was abandoned by nearly all his close followers, crucified as a messianic pretender, and apparently rejected by God. Yet within a few years, the reform movement which he had proclaimed spread explosively to become a world religion. How can one account most plausibly for this phenomenon? And then Father O'Collins compares Jesus to three other founders of world religions, Buddha, Confucius, and Muhammad. But Buddha, he lived a long life and spent it teaching. Same thing with Confucius. And when he died, he is really celebrated. He wasn't rejected. And then Muhammad, he had a wealthy wife and military victories that helped him gain followers and spread his teaching. And so Father O'Collins continues, he says this, in these three instances, we can point to publicly verifiable causes which further the spread of their religions, the long careers of the founders, financial resources, and success in battle. In the case of Christianity, the founder enjoyed none of these advantages. The subsequent propagation of the message of universal salvation in his name remains an enigmatic puzzle unless we admit a cause, the resurrection, adequate to account for the effect. Now, before we get to the third reason, I just want to invite all of us to encounter the risen Jesus and to experience that joy. So I'm just going to give you something very simple that you can do today and all of Easter. So this is what I'm doing, by the way. It comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, and you just say this, it's a prayer. You just say, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And I'm going to say this all during Mass privately, all during Easter. And I'm going to encourage you to do that. Put yourselves in the shoes of the early Christian. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And you're going to experience it. You're going to find that joy. Okay, third and final reason. The second reading this morning says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Okay, this phrase means, God willing, when we die, when we die, God willing, if we go to heaven, and we get, at the end of time, we get our bodies back, those bodies are going to be like Jesus' glorified bodies. It's what we call, we're going to be in what we call a state of perfection. Now, this is best explained with a story. I saw this beautiful interview of a man named Michael Voris. Some of you know Michael Voris. And his mother, he tells a story about his mother. She had severe bipolar disorder, depression, and obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. And those mental illnesses dominated their whole family life. She's a beautiful woman, lovely. But then she had this other side to her. So when they'd be walking in the mall, all of a sudden she'd just break out crying. And her two boys would have to watch her do that. And whenever they would leave the house, she'd stand at the door for like 5 minutes, checking over and over again to make sure it was locked. And her two boys called it the 1-2-3 thing. And at the end of her life, in her last conversation with Michael, she apologized, he said, for like the billionth time. She apologized for being, in her mind, a bad mother. And then Michael, in the interview, he starts crying. He says, to think that in our faith, when we see the people that we love again, we'll see them perfect when all of that is gone. I've actually joked with my mom a few times in praying, gosh, Mom, will I recognize you? You're not going to be standing there at the gate doing the 1-2-3 thing. It is this glorious, glorious hope that all of the horrible effects of sins, that God wipes them away, and there we are, who we're supposed to be. It'd be lovely to see Mom and Dad again, God willing. The third reason for our joy is that in heaven, God's going to wipe away all of our sufferings. So no more pain, no more mental illness, no more developmental disabilities, and most importantly, no more sin. No one's going to hurt God anymore. No one's going to hurt each other. The resurrection is the center of our faith. St. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain. But he has been raised. And so we have three reasons for joy today. Number one, Jesus' promises are true. Our Lord has conquered evil. And in heaven, all of our sufferings will be wiped away. Happy Easter.